If you're new to the church, you may look around worship and see that people seem to know all kinds of rituals and prayers and songs that you don't know. And people might seem to believe all kinds of things that maybe you're not sure if you can believe. You might wonder, is there any place for me? Or perhaps you are somebody who has been coming to church for a long, long time. And you look around church and things aren't how you remember. The rituals aren't the same, the songs aren't the same, the people aren't the same. And you might wonder, is there any place for me in the church? Well, I'm going to tell you a story. I'm going to tell you a story that might help to explain why the church is filled with so many different kinds of people. Now, one day, Jesus was sitting down for dinner. And gathered with him were his disciples, his closest followers were there with him. But also with him was a great big crowd of anybody and everybody who wanted to eat with him. Now, they were as different from one another as different could be. There were fishermen from Galilee. There were some tax collectors there. There were also some people who were from the far south of the country, and they were dressed like lawyers or scholars or something. And the only thing that bound them together was that they wanted to know. They wanted to know if they could find something of God in this man, Jesus. They had come to hear what he had to say and see what he would do. Sometimes people, they liked what they saw, they liked what they heard, and they would follow him. Other times, people didn't like what they saw, and they didn't like what they heard. And arguments would break out. And on this day, a particularly heated argument broke out. And dinner hadn't even started yet. People hadn't even begun eating yet. They were just beginning to sit down to dinner when some of the visitors demanded to know from Jesus why some of his disciples had sat down to eat without first washing their hands. And in true Jesus fashion, he launches into one of his great oratories. Jesus replies to them. I need to pause here for a moment before I go on with the story, because there's this hand washing thing. It might not make sense to you if we don't explain it, or what's worse, it might make half sense. Now you have to understand that the Jews at this time, they were very particular about washing. They would wash themselves very regularly, immersing sometimes their whole bodies in water and washing themselves almost every day. So this seems very normal to us here today, but in the ancient world at that time, it was very unusual. It was very unusual to wash yourself in this way. And remember, they lived in the desert. So if you were to live in the desert, it is a very costly habit to waste precious water washing yourself when you might use it to drink or to water your crops. But they washed themselves. What was so important that they would need to wash themselves? Well, for Jews, you see, they needed to wash before they went to do something sacred. You see, the ordinary stuff of life, that can't mix with the sacred for them. That's all the word sacred means. It just means set apart. They would need to wash themselves before they could go encounter the sacred. Because the sacred doesn't mix with the ordinary stuff of life. The ordinary stuff of life, that if you go walking through the world and living life, you can't help but accumulate on yourself a bit of envy over what a neighbor has here, a bit of anger at what a stranger did over there, a stray thought toward one you shouldn't be thinking certain thoughts toward over there. They just cling to you. They cling to you as you go through the world like dust on a sweaty brow. And if you're covered with the ordinary stuff of life, you can't go and encounter God. So people would go, and they would go to these ritual baths, and they would immerse themselves in water, and they would emerge fresh and clean and new, ready to go meet God, just as they were. What does this have to do with sitting down for a meal? Well, for Jews, sitting down to dinner, meeting with a person like Jesus, meeting someone, having conversations about God, this was a sacred thing. This was not ordinary life to sit down for dinner and break bread. This was holy, sacred. And these people, they had come to Jesus hoping for a sacred encounter. But the very first thing that they see is some of these people who are following Jesus, well, they just plop right down like pigs at a trough, and it looks like they're about to start stuffing food into their mouth as if it doesn't matter to them whether the sacred is there, as if it doesn't matter to them whether the presence of God is there in the room as they eat. People had come to Jesus hoping for a sacred encounter. And this is what, I'm sorry, I was telling a story about why the church is filled with so many different kinds of people. So let's get back to it. So, Jesus and his disciples are sitting down to dinner. And most of the people around the table, they were just regular folks from around the small towns in that area, laborers and fishermen and local women and children and beggars, those kinds of people, ordinary people. But the ones who were starting this fight about the hand washing, they were not from around there. You see, they were from the big city, the way they were dressed, the way they talked. Everybody could tell they were from the big city. They were from Jerusalem. And these weren't travelers who were passing through. They're out in the middle of nowhere. Nothing passes through where Jesus was at that day. No, they had come specifically to meet with Jesus, and these were strictly religious people. These were Pharisees. The dinner was just about to start when the whole thing ground to a halt. People were reaching for the food, hungry after a long day, and they insist that everything just stops right there to ask why some of the disciples hadn't washed their hands. Well, Jesus let them have it right away. He let them have it right away, saying the Pharisees were hypocrites and saying they were replacing the law of God with these quibbling little rules of their own devising. It's always the same with you Pharisees. I have to pause again before going on with the story, because it's kind of important that you understand who the Pharisees are, because if you don't understand who the Pharisees are, you might not understand the story, or what's worse, you might just half understand it. So the Pharisees, they get a bad rap in the Gospels, and often enough they're set up as antagonists to Jesus. They're usually the ones who are on the pointy end of Jesus' pointiest barbs. I mean, they always seem to be on the wrong end of every argument with Jesus. But originally, you have to understand, they were a group of Jews, just regular people. They weren't priests or scholars or experts or anything like that. They were just ordinary Jews who were trying to reform the religious practice of Israel. You see, the Pharisees, they felt that it wasn't necessary. In fact, it might be a little bit degrading, they thought, that every time you broke one little piece of the law, that you would have to go to the temple and tell a priest what you had done, and you would have to bring a sacrifice. And they thought that, you know, ordinary people are capable of looking after their own spiritual destiny. They were able to relate directly to God without any intercessor. They felt that all that you needed was an honest desire to follow the law of God as best you could understand it, as best you could live it out. So the Pharisees, what they would do is they would educate people about the law, and they would encourage people to take their spiritual destiny into their own hands. True, the Pharisees did earn a reputation for being strict, for being people who cared about the rules, but the rules, well, that's how they came to know God on their own terms. So when the Pharisees came to see Jesus, I think that they had come earnestly to seek out whether he was a sacred leader. After all, these were God-seeking people. But what they found in this man, Jesus, well, here he was. He didn't even make his followers wash their hands in preparation for the sacred encounter with God that comes from breaking bread. He was flaunting all these traditions that for the Pharisees, they were key to encountering God. How could Jesus throw all this away for these fishermen who admit that they don't know anything about how encountering God? The Pharisees saw in Jesus a man who was a threat to everyone. Sorry. I was telling you a story about why the church is filled with so many different kinds of people. So let's get back to that. So Jesus and his disciples are sitting down to eat dinner. But the Pharisees who were there, they start to get really upset when they notice that some of Jesus' disciples, they hadn't washed their hands before the meal. I'm sorry, I have to stop again. I'm not getting anywhere in the story. Did you hear that? The Pharisees were upset because some of Jesus' disciples hadn't washed their hands. That means that some of Jesus' disciples had washed their hands before the meal. Some of Jesus' disciples did follow the tradition that you needed to wash your hands, you needed to ritually cleanse yourself from the ordinariness of the day in order to encounter the sacred. Some of them followed this tradition. Some of them were probably as strict as the Pharisees. Some of them were probably following just as... I was telling a story about why the church is filled with so many different kinds of people. So the Pharisees, they wanted to know why Jesus prepared his disciples in this way. Why some of them washed their hands and others didn't. And what does Jesus do? Does he take that opportunity to chide those who had not washed their hands? To instruct them about the importance of sacred ritual? Or perhaps does he take that opportunity to chide those who had washed their hands? To tell them that they really need to loosen up and get with the spirit of the law instead of the letter of the law. Does he do any of that? Does he choose one rule that the whole community must follow? No, he doesn't do anything like that. Instead, this is what Jesus says. Don't worry so much about what's going on outside of yourself. Don't worry so much about the food that you eat or what you choose not to eat. Don't worry about whether you wash your hands. And don't worry so much about what other people are doing, especially. You need to focus first on your own heart. Because it's the things that come from our hearts. That's what we need to really be worried about. Envy that can lead to lies, that can lead to slandering someone. Slandering someone that can lead to conflict. It can lead to bitter anger. Bitter anger that can lead to violence that might even spiral into murder. That's where the real mortal sins come from. That's how you can really wind up far from God. If you don't mind what's in your heart. So, worry first about what's in your heart. Then worry what's on your hands. And don't bother worrying about what's on anybody else's hands. I think that for everyone who sat down to that dinner, whether they had washed their hands or not, I think that for everyone, Jesus' words would have come as a challenge. Would have been hard for them all to live up to this teaching that Jesus had offered them. I know that for me, this is as hard for me today as I think it was for anyone who was sitting around that table, for nothing has changed about the human heart. Nothing has changed about the human heart from the moment that Jesus spoke these words. It's no easier and no harder to have a clean heart. And I think in the end, I think this explains why the church is filled with such different kinds of people who believe such different things. Because to try to grow and better ourselves as we truly are, to try to move beyond envy and hatred, to try to avoid lies and to never even be tempted by anything like violence or murder, these are just as difficult today as they were in Jesus' day. And people need help. People need help. I think that's why people came to Jesus in the first place. I think that's why people continue to be drawn to communities that are built around following Jesus. Because to do what Jesus teaches, this is the task of a lifetime. This is the task of every generation. Why is the church today filled with so many different kinds of people who believe so many different kinds of things, who worship God in so many different kinds of ways? Because that's the way it has always been with following Jesus. That's the way it has always been. Even among the disciples, they did not agree about whether you should wash your hands or not wash your hands before a meal. And this isn't some little quibbling difference. This is about whether or not you will be able to encounter God. They didn't agree because they didn't have to agree to begin to want to follow Jesus. Because what Jesus was calling people to was not following this or that set of religious rituals. Jesus was calling people to turn back from paths that led to death and instead follow him on different paths that would lead to abundant life, life overflowing. So you are welcome in the church. You are welcome if you are new and our practices don't make any sense. Welcome if you are new. Welcome not as somebody trying to be shaped into this or that particular way of worshiping, but rather welcome for who you are. Welcome for what you know. Welcome as someone who has much to teach those who are also on this journey. And welcome to if you are a Pharisee like me. If you're a Pharisee like me, someone for whom the practices of this place matter so much. They matter so much because they have helped find God for you, as they have for me. Welcome to you if you are someone who not only loves singing the doxology, but someone who has definite opinions about whether the tune when we sing the doxology ought to be Old Hundredth or Lost Unserfreuen. Welcome. This is the church as it has always been. This is the church as Christ intended it. Mixed up and struggling and beautiful and searching and rock solid and ever changing. Filled with every different kind of person. Seeking always for someone new. Seeking always to encounter what we haven't seen. A church that has been made richer. A worship that has been made sweeter. Because you are here. Amen.